Tom Moulton has consistently tried to deflect attention from the part he played in the development of the art of mixing records by calling his contributions accidental discoveries. Accidental or not, the extended break, the remix, and the 12-inch single revolutionized the music industry. My name is Kevin Murnane, and this is Tuned Into Music. This is the second of two podcasts devoted to the highly talented and innovative mixer and remixer, Tom Moulton. Moulton introduced the extended break and the remix to the recording industry with the work that he did on a single song, Dreamworld by Don Downing. Moulton called these accidental discoveries because he didn't set out to make Dreamworld or any other record better by extending the break or by breaking it down into its component parts and then using those parts to build a different song. Instead, he developed both of those techniques as a way to solve a particular problem that he had with Dreamworld. Moulton wanted to make the record longer. At the time, the way that was usually done was you would take part of the record and attach it onto the end so that instead of the song fading out, you would have some additional extra choruses, or you would repeat the break and then have some choruses and then let it fade, something along those lines. The problem was that wouldn't work with Dreamworld because at the very end of that record, the out chorus shifted up into a slightly higher key. So what would happen is if you took music from earlier in the record and attached it to the end, the song would go on in one key, then it would shift up in a natural way to a higher key at what used to be the end of the original song, and then it would abruptly drop back down into the original key for the material that you had added on. It sounded terrible. Moulton solved the problem by taking the break and stripping out all of the instruments that were playing in a particular key, which left him with nothing but the drums. He then made the break longer by repeating or looping those drum passages, and he rebuilt the break by taking the instruments he had originally stripped out, rearranging them, and layering them back in such a way so that it sounded like the break developed in one coherent fashion from the beginning to the end, rather than repeating itself two or three times. In other words, he solved the problem by extending and remixing the break. And he did a beautiful job. Moulton's remix of the break on Dreamworld sounds like it was originally composed to be played like that. The music industry had never heard anything like this, and it blew their minds. Here it is, the Tom Moulton remix of Don Downing's Dreamworld.
No, no, don't.
statement that Tom Moulton invented the extended break in the remix needs clarification, because there are many ways to extend a break, and the term remix has come to mean so many different things that the claim that any one person invented all of them would be foolish. What we have is that around this time, a number of creative and innovative people are finding ways to make dance music more exciting by focusing on the break and elements of the remix. In Jamaica in 1972, a recording engineer and record producer named King Tubby began to experiment with making different versions of a song by doing things like stripping out the vocals and leaving only the rhythm track, or in some cases, pulling all the instrumentation out and leaving an a cappella track. He would then go to dance parties and play all of these versions back to back, creating one long version of the song. The different versions were called doubles, and what he was doing soon came to be called dub music. Like Moulton, he's creating something new by breaking down a song into its component parts and then recombining those parts in new ways. Meanwhile, a kid who was born in Jamaica and moved to the United States in 1967 when he was 12 years old was playing records for street dances and rec hall parties in the Bronx. He went by the name DJ Cool Herc, and he was focused on the break because that's the part of the song that drew the attention of the dancers in his audience. In 1974, the same year that Tom Moulton remixed Dreamworld, Herc came up with the idea of extending a break by combining the breaks from different songs. He would play one song through to the end of the break on one turntable, and then switch to the beginning of a break from a different song on the other turntable. He could then go back and forth between turntables, adding as many songs as he wanted. Soon after he came up with the idea of extending a break by combining the breaks from different songs, he realized that he could extend the break from one song for as long as he wanted, simply by buying two records and switching back and forth between the two turntables. As DJ Cool Herc's reputation was growing, two other DJs arose on the streets in the Bronx, Grandmaster Flash and Afrika Bambaataa. These three guys are widely viewed as the foundation of hip-hop. Around this time, a DJ named Francis Grasso was working in an underground dance club called The Sanctuary in Lower Manhattan. With an extraordinary ear for factors like rhythm and tempo and key signature, Grasso was able to smoothly blend one song into the next so that it often sounded like a continuous piece of music. He became so good at this that he could overlap songs so that they were both playing at the same time, yet they sounded like coherent music. This is extraordinarily difficult to do, and it's like remixing in that what Grasso is doing is he's taking parts of what is old and recombining them to make something new. These four guys, King Tubby, DJ Cool Herc, Francis Grasso, and Tom Moulton, were all doing different and highly innovative things to make dance music better by extending the break and recombining musical passages to make new compositions. Moulton had an advantage over the other three in that he was well known inside the recording industry. At the time that he remixed Dreamworld, Moulton was known as the Disc Doctor. He was the go-to guy when you had made a record that didn't work and needed to be fixed. Because he was a member of the recording industry, he had access to multi-track recording machines, and more importantly, he had access to the original multi-track tapes, which could be used for remixing. It also meant, and this is probably the most important factor of all, that when Moulton did something innovative, people in the American record business heard it. They didn't have to go out and discover something they didn't even know existed that was going on in a gay dance club in Lower Manhattan or a street corner in the Bronx or a small recording studio in Kingston, Jamaica. For the American record business, the revolutionary nature of what Moulton was doing is indicated by the fact that when people first heard his remix of Dreamworld, their response wasn't, "Wow, that's a great remix." It was, "How in the hell did you do that?" They had never heard anything like it before. Moulton's other accidental discovery was a 12-inch single. Before Moulton, singles were produced on 7-inch discs, which is the size of a 45 RPM record. One of the consequences of putting a song on the larger disc is that you can make longer songs, and the record companies took advantage of this by producing extended remixes that were pressed in limited numbers and then given as promotional copies to DJs in dance clubs. The idea was that the DJ would play the extended remix in the club, and then people would go out and buy the regular version of the record. The very first promotional single was Tom Moulton's remix of the song Free Man by South Shore Commission, and the record company's strategy worked. After the DJs began playing the extended 12-inch version in the Lower Manhattan dance clubs, Free Man went to number one on the Billboard dance charts. Here it is, Tom Moulton's remix of South Shore Commission's Free Man. We'll be right back. The discovery of the 12-inch single really was something of an accident. Bolton went into the recording studio with tapes of the song I'll Be Holding On by Al Downing, and he asked his engineer, Jose Rodriguez, if he could cut a temporary record called an acetate for him. Rodriguez told him that the studio had run out of the 7-inch 45 RPM blanks that were usually used for singles, and that the smallest size they had was a 10-inch. Moulton asked him to cut it on the 10-inch, but when he saw that little narrow band of grooves on that big wide disc, he thought it looked so ridiculous that nobody would take the record seriously. So he asked the engineer if there's some way he could spread the recording out so that it would cover more of the disc. Rodriguez said he could do that and recut the record with wider grooves so that it covered the whole side of the 10-inch platter. When Moulton heard the playback, the difference in the sound was incredible, and he immediately recognized the importance of what they had discovered. Cutting a record with wider grooves has three important effects on how the music sounds. First, the record has to be cut at a higher gain, which means a greater loudness level, and that makes the music sound richer and more vibrant. Second, wider grooves allow you to capture a deeper and fuller bass. And finally, wider grooves produce a wider dynamic range, which is the difference between the quietest and the loudest sound on the recording, which makes a record sound more dynamic and more alive and more exciting. All three of these factors, increased loudness, an increase in dynamic range, and a deeper and fuller bass, are ideal for the conditions under which records are played in a dance club, and Moulton instantly understood this. When they heard how good the 10-inch version sounded, they made a 12-inch version so that it would sound even better. Here it is, the very first 12-inch single, the Tom Moulton mix of Al Downing's I'll Be Holding On. The version we're going to listen to came from a very rare unreleased acetate, which I'm guessing probably came from Tom Moulton's personal collection.
You don't.
The promotional 12-inch remixes were successful in selling records, but the clubgoers were becoming increasingly pissed off when they bought the record and discovered the version of the song on the single or the album wasn't the extended remix they had heard in the club. Recognizing an opportunity to make even more money, the record industry began making 12-inch remixes available to the general public in 1976. The very first commercially available 12-inch single was the song 10% by the group Double Exposure, and as you've probably guessed, it was a Tom Moulton mix. Here it is. We'll be right back. the extended break, the remix, and the 12-inch single. Three accidental discoveries that revolutionized the way music was produced, recorded, marketed, and listened to, and all of them introduced to the music business by Tom Moulton. It's a remarkable story. And perhaps the most remarkable thing about it is that today, not that many people know who Tom Moulton is. In the late 1970s, the American music industry destroyed dance music in America by marketing lame, emasculated disco dreck, so that now, when you say 1970s dance music, people think John Travolta and the Bee Gees and the Village People, and the period is forever associated with the slogan, "Disco sucks." If greed had not overwhelmed everything else, perhaps the extraordinarily exciting, open-minded, and innovative dance culture that developed in the early 1970s would have come into full flower. And the names that people remember would be people like David Mancuso, Larry Levin, and the great Tom Moulton. And the slogan that would have echoed down the years would have been, "Love is the message." My name is Kevin Murnane, and this is Tuned Into Music. You take care of each other.